First Kings chapter 3. We're going to read from verses 6 to 12. Then Solomon said, "You have shown great love and kindness to your servant David, my father, according as he walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart toward you. And you have reserved for him this great love and kindness, that you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" It was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you." Let's pray. Lord, we gather here today in your presence this morning to just come before you in community, to pray together, to worship together, and to receive your word, Father. I pray that you speak to us, God. Open up our hearts to hear what you have to say, Lord, and to really take your words, God, take your words of wisdom just with a pure heart, Lord, and to really apply it in our lives, Father. We thank you. In your name we pray, amen. So, Solomon, he's one of the more prominent figures in the Bible. So we all have heard many tales of who he is. He's son of David. He's one of the kings of Israel. And there's all these tales about his wealth and his wisdom and all the things that he did, including constructing the temple in Jerusalem. There are several episodes in the Bible that are quite famous when it comes to Solomon, and this one sticks out particularly as one of them. It's him asking for wisdom, and one of the things I always ask myself when I read this is, you know, why was it pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon asked for wisdom? And through this passage, I'm going to bring out 3 points that we can take away from this, why God was so pleased when Solomon made his request. So the first one, Solomon's request was not a self-serving request. So this one's a pretty simple point. We are taught by the Bible, and it's everywhere in the Bible, that we are to ask when we ask God, when we approach God with requests, we are to ask according to his will. So for those who have taken GIC, there's 2 verses that speak to this. John 16:24, "Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete." And Matthew 6:33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Also in 1 John 5:14-15, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him." So we are to ask things according to his will. And he is a generous God, and he is more than glad to give things to us when it is according to his will. So Israel was God's nation, and prior to Saul, God had been their king. It was only at Saul that God relented to the demands of the Israelites and said, "Okay, I'll give you your king, the king that you have demanded." So the people now had a human king that was ruling in place of God. So the God, or the king that God had placed in Israel, wasn't the end all and be all. He was actually the representative of God for the Israelites. And so one of the reasons Solomon was asking for wisdom wasn't so that he could fulfill his own desires, but Solomon was asking for wisdom so that he would have the wisdom to be able to judge God's people. so that he would have the wisdom to be able to judge God's people according to his will. And this was a great nation, as it describes in the Word. He was honoring God with his request. He wanted to rule Israel. He wanted to rule this nation in a way that honored God, in a way that was fitting for God, in a way that God's nation should be ruled. And in other words, he had this big task, and he wanted to ensure that God was glorified above all else. So God was pleased with Solomon because this was not a self-seeking request. Number two, Solomon humbled himself. So prior to chapter 3, if you ever actually take the time to read it today, if you read chapter 1, chapter 2, there's quite the story brewing. For those who like political dramas or political thrillers, or if you're watching Game of Thrones, which is hyper-violent, so I wouldn't recommend you watch it, but if you have, it's okay. If you like watching those kind of shows, that's kind of what's going on before chapter 3. There's a lot of political maneuvering, and you can actually see Solomon is quite adept at playing this political game, and he's quite intelligent. And you can see that through his actions. Even in chapter 2, verses 6 and verses 9, David is giving Solomon his last words, and David recognizes that Solomon already has wisdom. And this is before chapter 3. This is before Solomon requests God, "Oh, give me wisdom." David recognizes that there is this natural wisdom coming from Solomon. So then, why does Solomon ask God for wisdom? He's already smart. So Solomon actually humbles himself before God, earnestly seeking for his help, because he knew that he had enough wisdom, he had enough intelligence to get rid of his enemies, and he actually did this. But despite all of that, he knew that it wouldn't be enough to help him rule God's nation. So he humbled himself to seek God's help. Solomon says in verse 7, "Yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in." You know, from the world's perspective, does it really seem like Solomon was a little child and didn't know how to go out or come in? He had already solidified his rule. He had gotten rid of his enemies. So it would appear that he knew enough, or he had the wisdom to know what to do. But yet, he humbled himself and came before God and telling him, "I have wisdom, but it is incomparable to the wisdom that you have. It is incomparable to the discernment that you contain, and that is what I want." So, that's number two. Solomon humbled himself. Number three, and I think this is the most important one in why Solomon was seeking wisdom. Solomon was seeking intimacy with God in asking for wisdom. So, you look back to the language itself. I know I've been using the word wisdom, but in verse 9, Solomon actually never asks for wisdom. He asks for an understanding heart. Okay, I looked up understanding heart in what it means in the Hebrew. Understanding means to hear intelligently or obedience. And heart, meaning the inner man or the soul or the will. So really, Solomon wasn't just asking for knowledge and intellect and knowing what to do in specific situations and how to, what do I say to this person? Solomon was asking God that to allow his will to hear God's voice, to allow his heart to understand, to hear intelligently what God was saying. Now, it's one thing to hear someone's voice. Now, they may talk to you like, I get it. And then you go off and do your own thing. I do this quite a bit with my wife. She'll say something and I'll invariably forget why she was telling me some things, so I just do it without really thinking, and later I'm like, "Oh, that's why you said it." So to hear intelligently, to really understand, is to have that person's heart. To hear intelligently would indicate there is a deeper, more intimate level of understanding of what that person is saying, especially if you're obeying. Like, you know, sometimes we'll do things just because we know it's good, but to really understand, you wouldn't just obey, you would go that extra mile because you would know how that person thinks and you would know what that next step is. And that's what Solomon was seeking. He was looking beyond the ability to know what to do in specific situations because he was wanting to hear God's voice. He was wanting that deep intimacy. He wanted that intimacy with God where he would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when God was speaking, he would know that this was God's voice. And what does God do for Solomon at the end? God tells him, "Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart." But not only that, if you read further on, God also gives him everything that he didn't ask for. All the riches and the wealth and honor. Now, this isn't to say we should always ask God for things with that in mind. It's because Solomon wasn't asking for those things. Those things weren't even on his mind that God said, "You truly are honoring me. You truly want intimacy with me. And I want to bless you, not only with wisdom, but with all these other things." And that goes back to speaks back to Matthew 6:33. If we seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, if we seek intimacy with God, all these other things will be given to us as well, will be added unto us. So for us as Christians, a wise and discerning heart listens and hears and obeys the word of God. It says in Hebrews 5:14, "But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." See, wisdom, like I said before, isn't just knowledge and intellect. It isn't this thing that we have floating around in our heads. Wisdom is an action. It's applying the knowledge and the intellect that God has given us and that God has taught us. And the more that we act in accordance with the word, the wiser that we become. The more that we act in accordance with the word, the more and more we incorporate and integrate him into all our lives, into every aspect of our lives. That intimacy, allowing him to speak and knowing what he sounds like and understanding his will, allows us to discern between good and evil, which is, you know, what we always ask for when we ask for wisdom. Like in a job, should I do this? Or should I take this job? Should I stay at my current job? What should I do? Give me discernment. And that's how God speaks to us. So, as Pastor Nate comes up, as we pray today, I want us to consider two questions. First one, are we even asking God for wisdom? In James chapter 1, verse 5, "But if anyone of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously without reproach, and it will be given to him." Are we asking God for the wisdom in what to do with maybe our jobs or what we're doing in life or whatever it may be? Are we asking God for wisdom? Or are we relying on our own knowledge and intellect to get us through? Because if you look at James, God gives generously and without reproach. He's not going to berate you. He gives it generously, and he's more than happy to give you that wisdom. So that's one. Are we asking God for wisdom? And number two, when we are asking God for wisdom, are our hearts in the right place? Do we need wisdom because there's a situation we need to handle? There's a situation we need to solve? Are we humbling ourselves before God? Are we saying, "Lord, I know there are certain things that I know how to do, and I can apply this intellect, I can apply this knowledge to this situation"? Are we humbling ourselves and asking him, "Despite knowing all of these things, I still come to you knowing that I can't do anything without you. I don't know how to do it without you"? And are we seeking him with the goal of intimacy? Are we looking to him because we want an answer, or because we want to know him, we want to be with him? Because we say, Lord, you know, you have my heart. I want to honor and glorify you in all that I do. That should be your attitude, just to know him, to know his heart. You know, I spoke lightly about my wife and I and how I don't really listen to her sometimes. But this really highlights it for me. If I truly knew her, if I truly wanted that intimacy with her, she wouldn't have to tell me what to do, because I already know what she would want. And that is us asking God's will. No. We ask God's will, like, show me how it is you operate. Show me what your will is. So it goes beyond asking him all the time, oh, what would you do? Well, God, you know, what should I do here? And how do I honor you? How do I glorify you? It's because we already know. Because we're in that place of intimacy with him. So as we worship and pray today, let's just focus on that. Let's come to God and say, teach me what it is to live according to your will, to ask for your wisdom.
God in my living,
God, we want you to be our everything in every single aspect of our lives. Teach us to apply your word every single minute of the day. Permeate through all every single facet of our life. Help us practice your word. Help us practice wisdom, allowing us to draw closer to you. Let's turn to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for those who are suffering from cancer and undergoing chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for the health, the strength, and just pray that God continues to encourage them in these trying times. Pray for those who are sick, but also are still needing to know Jesus in their life. Let's pray for open ears and just for their family members, for their family members as they speak, that they are encouraged by God and that they continue to persevere. Pray for those with infirmities. Pray for God's healing on them as well. Pray for those in our community that are looking for jobs as well. Let's pray that God opens up doors for them and provides them the right opportunities. Turning to our Wednesday prayer focus, let's pray for China and pray for SP Beijing. Let's pray for Pastor Hansu and his family as they are up and leading the church in Beijing. Let's also pray for the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, and all the other churches in and around China. Thank you. pray for the board. Let's pray for as they meet and just lead the direction of the church. Let's pray for unity within the board, and let's pray for protection over them as well. Lift them up as they make decisions for the church. Pray for our fellowship ministries, the men's ministry, their Monday morning prayer group, the Pure Desire group, men's fraternity. Let's also pray for the women's ministry, their Monday morning prayer. They also have a discipleship class or course, as well as their women's retreat that is coming up in September. And let's also pray for the young adults fellowship led by Pastor Ken. Pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this day where we can come. Lord, I pray that for all of us here today, Lord, and those listening online, that as we seek your will, Lord, that we're not just searching for answers, but we are more, we're seeking for intimacy with you. We are seeking to know you more, God. Help us draw closer to you, Lord, and help us understand, to discern, Lord, what you are saying, to discern your voice, God. And to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord, your voice, God. So, Lord, be with us today, God, as we go off to our jobs, as we go off to our lives. Help us apply that wisdom, God, that you have given to us in every facet of our lives. We thank you, Father. In your name we pray, amen. Thank you. Enjoy. Continue to pray. And we'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.